Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 o'clock. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 43 degrees in light rain and fog. Today's Tuesday, January 28th, 2014. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The Sitka Assembly will hear a presentation on potential cuts to the Community Ride Bus Program at a work session before its meeting tonight. The Community Ride Buses have been funded in part by a federal grant, which is ending. The Sitka Tribe and the Center for Community, which run the buses, are requesting additional funding from the city to avoid cutting bus routes. In other business, the Assembly will consider tightening an ordinance that prohibits children from being present in places where smoking is permitted, and will discuss the development of a community compost area. The Assembly will also vote on whether to apply for a loan from the Alaska Energy Authority to finish construction of the Blue Lake Hydro Project. The city had hoped for a state grant to cover the remaining $18.5 million in construction costs for the Blue Lake project, but officials say that is looking increasingly unlikely. Tonight's meeting begins at 6 p.m. Raven Radio will go to live coverage of the Assembly after tonight's State of the Union coverage on NPR. A 19-year-old Sitka man had a run-in with a sea lion at Seafood Producers Co-op on Saturday. Alaska State Troopers say the man was sitting on the railing of a fishing vessel when a large bull pounced. The sea lion jumped out of the water and attempted to bite him, causing the man to fall forward into the vessel. The bitten man was a crew member on the Sitka-based fishing vessel Confidence, which was offloading bait herring at the time, according to State Troopers spokesperson Megan Peters. Julie Spiegel, a spokesperson with the National Marine Fisheries Service, says the man did not require medical attention. There were no puncture wounds, just abrasions, she said. According to Spiegel, quote, it isn't unheard of for big and powerful wild animals to habituate to humans and see us as a food source, close quote. Troopers do not believe that the crew was feeding sea lions, but just to be safe, officials are reminding fishermen and hunters to dispose of waste properly rather than dumping carcasses or scraps in the harbor. Every year, Sitka has its share of maritime emergencies and remote rescue operations. Last December, for example, two hunters were seriously injured in Salisbury Sound when their boat slammed into a cliff in the Narrows. And while that and other events often make headlines, you don't often hear about the state-of-the-art emergency response vessel Sitka has available to render aid. That's because, in many cases, the $200,000 boat has remained tied up at the dock, while responders take the harbor skiff or even their own private boats to the scene of emergencies. The controversy over Sitka's 8-year-old emergency response vessel has been going on for about 8 years. The ERV was purchased with a grant from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, and it was designed to accommodate law enforcement, fire, and rescue operations. The boat has been in the care of the police department until now, and reasons for tension over the boat are as diverse as the people responsible for serving these three vital missions. If there is any consensus at all around the boat, it's that it's not being utilized to its fullest. At the last meeting of the Sitka Assembly on January 14th, Administrator Mark Gorman suggested that his department heads had charted a new course for the ERV.
And we are going to look at moving the vessel to under the responsibility of the Harbor Department, and it will be dispatched and scheduled out of the Fire Department. And the rationale behind this is to allow better access to other departments to the use of the vessel, in particular search and rescue.
2013, we had a total of 54 missions, and of those 54 missions, 21 of them required the use of a vessel.
This is Sitka Search and Rescue Director Don Cluding. SAR is on the water a lot more than you might think.
We either transport to a remote location so we can do ground search, or out there providing mutual aid services to the Coast Guard, towing boats, and rescuing vessels that are in distress.
Cluding says the fewest number of missions SAR has done on the water in any year in the last decade or so is 14. Whether by design or default, SAR has become the go-to organization for this kind of work. And the boat they take is usually not the ERV.
At this point, we're using the Harbor Department boat. The Harbor Master and his staff have been wonderful to work with, and it's just a matter of the call comes in, we make one phone call to, the on-duty Harbor Department person or the Harbor Master and get permission to utilize their vessel.
Having that kind of ready access for the emergency response vessel is where Sitka's administration wants to go. The harbor skiff is a 28-foot aluminum drop bow with a partial cabin. Depending on ocean conditions, its use can be very limited. The ERV is 30 feet, and its manufacturer, Safe Boat, is favored by the Coast Guard and other agencies. It's rated for a sea state of 5, which means 25-knot winds and 12-foot seas. It also can transport its crew and two patients in litters inside the fully enclosed cabin. The sticky part is the Homeland Security grant which purchased the ERV. This is Police Chief Sheldon Schmidt talking to the Assembly about it in 2008.
Primary purpose for the boat has been law enforcement. It's a Homeland Security boat. We're not using it for patrol, active patrols. We have gone out approximately 125 times with the boat in the 2 years that we've been tasked with maintaining and operating it.
Schmidt told the Assembly at the time that the Department of Homeland Security did not require the ERV to be housed within the police department, only that it be available to serve a law enforcement function. He also said that of those 125 uses of the boat, only 6 had been for search and rescue. In an interview with KCAW last week, Schmidt said he is in favor of the administration's efforts to make the ERV more accessible by transferring it to the Harbor Department, but that law enforcement will have to remain involved at some level to satisfy the terms of the Homeland Security grant. It's worth trying, he said. Both Schmidt and Kluding acknowledge the important role of the Harbor Department in making headway on the problem. Maintaining the ERV is a considerable responsibility. 6 of Search and Rescue's 44-member team are trained boat operators, and they'll have to do even more training to make this idea a reality. Kluding knows he's not just being handed the keys.
You don't just jump in a boat and go.
Administrator Mark Gorman told the Assembly on January 14th that the transfer of the emergency response vessel to harbors could take a couple of months. Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell came through Sitka last Friday. Treadwell is seeking the Republican nomination to run against Democrat Mark Begich for the U.S. Senate. Begich is up for re-election in November. The race is being closely watched across the country. Republicans currently have a minority in the U.S. Senate, and unseating Begich is a top priority for the GOP as it tries to take back the chamber. Speaking to KCAW last week, Treadwell talked about public lands, personal privacy, and what exactly he means by his campaign motto, bringing decision-making home.
I think most Alaskans agree with me today that we have a federal government that spends too much. It borrows too much. It prints too much money. It meddles too much in human affairs, in our personal affairs. It snoops too much. And I hear that from Republicans and Democrats across the board. And I think we have to go back and remind Washington there are limits to power, that Washington doesn't need to try to solve every problem, that we don't need a bureaucracy for everything, and that people in a free society can make decisions for themselves.
Treadwell emphasized his support for increasing oil and gas production and proposed giving the state more control over public lands.
If you ask the average American, and you certainly get this from the average Alaskan, we want you to develop our resources to have jobs, and we want you to protect the environment. Right now, the federal government's not doing a very good job of developing jobs on public land. That's why the House of Representatives passed a measure to do a pilot project to try to turn Forest Service land over to the state of Oregon, for example, and why we ought to be looking at that with our state forest. And I think Alaskans are smart enough to make good environmental decisions on our land and to have a sustainable economy.
Treadwell also emphasized his background in science and technology. Among other roles, he served as chair of the U.S. Arctic Research Council and as deputy commissioner of the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. Asked whether the federal government should be taking more action on climate change, Treadwell said he opposes any action that might increase the cost of fossil fuels.
I think the first thing is that we need to understand our own limits as people. I don't know that we're going to ever be able to change the weather. I do know that ultimately we can make energy cleaner, all right? But I'm going to be representing a state that's known for three things: cold, dark, and distance. And I'm not going to be pushing to raise your energy prices. I'm sorry.
But, Treadwell said, government does have a role in promoting renewable energy.
And I'm very much in favor of research and development that's going to get us cleaner energy over time. We've got hydroelectric. We've got geothermal. We've got tidal, we've got wind, And I'm very much a proponent of, as a conservative, I'm ready to stand up in any conservative caucus and say, listen, this is one job the government can do and should do to help us advance as a society.
One job the government shouldn't be doing is spying on Americans, Treadwell said. He expressed concern over the program run by the National Security Agency to collect and store America's phone records. That program was made public last summer by the former NSA contractor Edward Snowden.
The Fourth Amendment of the Constitution says the government doesn't have access to your papers, can't do unreasonable search and seizure without a warrant. Well, when Edward Snowden broke the law, but the fact is he told us about people who were breaking the Constitution. And I'm very concerned about that. I'm a privacy advocate.
Treadwell faces two other Republicans in the primary, former Alaska Commissioner of Natural Resources Dan Sullivan and Joe Miller, who beat Senator Lisa Murkowski in the 2010 Republican primary, only to lose to her as a write-in candidate in the general election. The primary will be held on August 19, 2014. A state House committee is scheduled to hear a proposal that would allow village public safety officers to carry firearms in the line of duty. The bill from Representative Bryce Edgman of Dillingham would allow the officers to carry firearms after meeting certain training standards. The officers serve as first responders in rural communities that can be located hours or days from the nearest state trooper, depending on the weather. They do not carry guns, but do have other equipment, such as tasers. The bill follows the shooting death last year of an unarmed village public safety officer in Manakodak. It would not require VSPOs to be armed. The decision would be left to the hiring agencies, such as the Alaska Native Associations or villages. Expect rain diminishing this afternoon, highs around 48 in Sitka with light winds. This is KCAW Raven Radio. It's 1 minute after 8 o'clock.